This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world. Scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities. From Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
We kick off tonight in Malaysia, where there has been a landmark win in a legal challenge to the Muslim gay sex ban. It's basically a test case that has reached Malaysia's top court, and the top court has given a go-ahead for a local man who was arrested for having same-sex sexual acts, which is currently illegal in Malaysia. Malaysia is quite interesting because they run this parallel legal system where there's the old British Empire Section 377, but also Sharia law. So you can actually be, depending on which province of Malaysia you're in, you can actually be pinned under the law.
Which religion you are. Sorry, Matt. It's if you're Muslim, the Sharia law applies to you. It does also depend on your religion.
Exactly. So this Muslim man, his name has been withheld to protect him, took a challenge to the country's highest court, and the court has said they will hear this challenge. And local LGBT groups have seen this as a massive step forward, that this challenge to the use of Sharia law is a major step ahead.
And I think, and we covered some of this issue last year with a scholar from Monash University, Malaysia, Joe Goh. It's a good...
Yes. In fact, the incident where this man was charged, there were a group of 11 men arrested on suspicion of attempting gay sex. Five of them pleaded guilty, and they did receive canings or jail sentences or fines. And he is one who is seeking to challenge that and overturn the ruling, perhaps bring a last change to the law in Malaysia. Across to Paul now, you've been looking at Zambia.
Yes. Yes, some good news from Africa for a change. So Zambian president has pardoned two men who were jailed last year for having sex with each other. Their 15-year sentence, which triggered a diplomatic row, which ended with the recalling of the US ambassador. The two men were among the nearly 3,000 prisoners that were pardoned to mark African Freedom Day, which fell last week. Now, Zambia is a deeply conservative society where homosexual acts are illegal. Of course, that comes from the British colonial era, so I apologise again for that law. But, you know, they've had time to change it and they haven't.
Zambia is a curious one, though. I remember a few years back the First Lady of Zambia, and I'm not sure if it's the same one that's currently there now, but she was actually speaking out in support of some LGBT issues there. So there seem to be these pockets without widespread cultural change, these pockets of support.
They are, I mean, these people were, these two men were part of 3,000 prisoners that were pardoned. So it's a positive step, but I wouldn't say that they were specifically picked out to be pardoned. They were part of a larger group. I mean, when they were originally charged and imprisoned, there was a lot of kickback, particularly from the US ambassador, because he was horrified by the sentence, and he implored the Zambian government to review the case and its homosexual laws, but they didn't particularly like being told what to do, and they told him where to go.
And look, in African LGBT rights, a win's a win. Ian, you've been looking at probably one of the biggest stories of the week in the USA.
I wanted to acknowledge that Larry Kramer has passed away. Larry Kramer was a HIV activist. He was an American playwright. He was an author, a film producer. Perhaps his most famous play that people might know is The Normal Heart, which was made into a movie. He was a public health advocate and an LGBT rights activist. And the sort of story that I think that anyone from any generation should look up and understand as to what sort of people make a difference. And just a couple of things. Larry was not a easy person, let's put it that way. But he actually did make a difference, and he knew when to shout, and he knew when to, he had a particular way of getting attention. He was one of the co-founders of the Gay Men's Health Crisis in New York City, one of the very key organizations in the HIV crisis in the early 1980s. He managed to get himself kicked out and because they weren't going far enough in activism as far as he was concerned. And he was one of the co-founders in ACT UP, which listeners may know took direct action and against drug companies and really raised the profile of why we didn't have drugs at the time to treat HIV and why the clinical trial system needed to be modified. But he didn't just shout and get angry. I think the thing that's amazing about Larry Kramer is he got results. He did, along with other people, of course, and Larry was never shy about saying what he did, and there were many other people involved. But Larry and the people of the activists of that time did get a change, ultimately, in how we do research, how research is done with people. And that's utterly relevant to coronavirus right now and how we're doing clinical trials. So a life to wait, very well lived, and something we should remember.
It's probably fair to say, as an activist, he threw hand grenades, but as you sort of, he had such a breadth to what he did. He was an artist. He was an activist. He was somebody who had a really good handle on health and how it was being used in the public setting. They probably don't make them like him anymore.
I think people are still, the thing about Larry that I think many people remember is how angry he could be. And if there's a message or something, I think that anger has a place in has a place in getting things done, but it's not everything. And I think that Larry went backwards and forwards in his life and did actually maybe in his later years understand about tempering that. But he was he understood that unless politicians understood that communities were angry, nothing would ever change.
And we absolutely pay tribute to him. And some good news out of France, Stefan.
Yes, France, which is not the most tolerant society at the moment, with a kind of increasing report from SOS Homophobie of abuse against the community. I've elected their first trans mayor in a small town in the north of France near the Belgian border. Marie Cour was elected mayor of Tilloy-les-Marchiennes. I think it's good news from France, and in terms of you wouldn't think that in 2020 we'll have the first trans mayor in a country of 62 or 63 million people.
I think the thing that's even more impressive here, this is not a inner city, suburban mayor. This is in a bit of a rural setting.
Yes, yeah, it's quite rural, just towards the Belgian border in the northeast. So they voted for the program. I mean, she's been interviewed in the newspapers, saying that she saying that what is surprising is that this news is surprising, and that she was elected for a program, and she's really happy to have lived in this little town for more than 20 years and contributing to society.
That reminds me that we had, I think it was about 18 months ago, we had Andrew Reynolds, the author of The Children of Harvey Milk, which is all about LGBT politicians. And one thing I think he said to us is that he was surprised that he saw LGBT politicians, or you might be surprised that LGBT politicians get elected in rural areas. And the difference is that there are, that for those communities, as long as they're local, they own those people. They feel that those people are close to them. So that even though it might be in the middle of a redneck area of the USA, as long as they were our gay or our trans person, that was what mattered.
It's been a very big news week, and that is a wrap.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, World Wide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.